Thank you, Jesus. Awesome, awesome praise and worship. God is good all the time. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I want to read the article I put in the Sunday handout this morning before we get into the message, which has to do with the message today, but opportunities to be a light all around us. Amen. That which is spoken in a secret place will be brought to the light, for I am giving you a voice to that which my spirit is speaking. And no longer will the church have, no longer will the church not have a voice, but you will have a voice to speak forth into the darkness of this world. The words that I will give you to speak will be words of truth that will shake the kingdom of darkness. I am the spirit of truth, and in me there is no darkness. Truth will win. Truth will prevail. So we are the voice of God in the earth, and as God's representative, and I appreciated some of the testimonies today from Pastor and them, we are the voice of God in the earth. And as God's representatives on the earth, He has given us the authority to speak for Him. We do not have to ask permission. Amen? I believe that we're living in strategic times, and the Lord is prompting us to be the voice of truth that will bring breakthrough. And many times God is waiting for something to be done, but He needs someone to begin to speak His will. The church, the body of Christ, is taking their place as we listen and obey what He is speaking to us in the secret place. We then become His mouthpiece in the earth. As the days darken, we must learn to be His voice and speak the truth. People are discouraged and frightened as nations are in turmoil and evil seems to be everywhere. But the church, the sons and daughters of God, can stand in the gap and bring healing to the earth as we become God's mouthpiece of hope and life. The Spirit of truth who lives in the sons and daughters of God has given us everything we need to come against the spirit of darkness that wants to prevail. Amen. The church said amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Truth. You know, some think that truth is relative to the circumstance, and what they're really saying is that truth for one situation is not really true for every situation. Now, this is the worldview of it. Sad to say, a lot of church too. So this means that truth for one person is not necessarily the same for everyone. But if this is correct, how can we know then what to believe? And how should we live? So there must be a standard that we go by. Former President Ronald Reagan said one time, Americans yearn to know life's deepest truth. You know, if people didn't want to really know the truth, they wouldn't be spending millions of dollars trying to find the truth when it's already been given to us free. But he went on to say, within the covers of that single book, and he was talking about the Bible, are all the answers to all the problems that face us today if we would only read and believe it. That was from President Ronald Reagan. I believe a great man of God. Amen. You know, people are running everywhere, chaotic, trying to find truth, searching for truth, for whatever will satisfy for them at the moment. Spending, you know, as I said before, millions of dollars trying to find what they want as truth or what they believe to be truth. They seek the truth of what they feel they need. The night before Jesus was crucified, He prayed a prayer on behalf of His disciples and also future disciples. John 17:17 says that sanctify them in truth, He prayed. Set them apart for your purposes. Make them holy, for your word is truth. So we can look into the pages of God's Word, as President Reagan said, learn the truth of any subject that we have a question to. We can find life's purpose. We can find what God wants us to do. We can find that God does exist. We can find our purpose in life can be found in the truth of this book. Amen. Psalms 119, 160 says, "The entirety of your word is true." And this is the standard that we live by. The truth of this word applies to everybody, because God is no respecter of person. Amen. He is no respecter of person. I like what the Message Bible says in John 17. He says, "Now I'm returning to you," Jesus says. "I'm saying these things in the world's hearing so my people can experience my joy completed in them. I gave them your word. The godless world hated them because of it, because they didn't join the world's ways, just as I didn't join the world's ways. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world." You know, some people are just waiting around. A lot of Christians are just waiting around for God to come back. Just hurry up and come back, God, to get us out of this mess. We ought to be right in the middle of the mess, because we have the truth. We have the light. "Just as I didn't join the world's way, I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you guard them from the evil one. They are no more defined by the world than I'm defined by the world." The world doesn't define their standards, church. Amen. "I make them holy, consecrated with the truth. Your word is consecrating truth. In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. I'm consecrating myself for their sake, so they'll be truth. So they'll be truth, consecrated in their mission." Every one of us that are born again as sons and daughters of God have been given a ministry, and it's the ministry of truth. You have been called to be ministers of truth. And you apply that truth at every opportunity that the doors open. Amen, that the doors is open. Because we know the truth. And that's what sets people free. The truth, you'll know the truth and you'll be set free. You remember what I read to you earlier? I said, "The words that I will give you to speak will be words of truth that will shake the kingdom of darkness." If you want to begin to shake the kingdom of darkness, go out and begin to tell people about grace. If you want to go out and shake the kingdom of darkness, begin to say what the word says. Because that's the truth. And the enemy doesn't like truth. And the greatest enemy to truth is silence. The greatest enemy to truth is keeping your mouth closed and not participating in the ministry that God has called us to, which is the ministry of truth. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed us to the ministry of that, of reconciliation." And like I said, if you want to upset the kingdom of darkness, when you begin to speak that word, begin to tell people that God's not mad at them. There are so many people that will not come to church because they think God is mad at them. So many people won't receive from God because they feel like they don't measure up to receive from God. If you want to shake the kingdom of darkness, go out and begin to reconcile people to Jesus, but say, "God's not mad at you. You've not done anything bad enough that he's turned his face against you or his back against you." We are called to be ministers of truth, to shake the kingdom of darkness. Amen. Jesus tells Pilate that he has come in the world to bear witness to that truth. John 18, it says, notice that he says the truth, not any old truth. But Jesus says, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Again, notice it's the truth, something definite, something not vague, something not empty, something that's not void, something that gives people the opportunity to have life and have life more abundantly. And we are bearers of that truth. You know, so many people even within the church is running around with their life in chaos, trying to seek truth. And it's sad to say there's a lot of people behind the pulpit not teaching that. But praise God, we have people here that has taught us about grace. We are ministers of that truth. John 14:6 says, "Jesus said to him, I am the only way to God, and the real truth and the real life, no one comes to the Father except through me. So where is the church? I've been given the word. So what is the church? A lot of people don't even know what the church is, you know. And so, but they would say that it's a place where we go worship. It's the building, referred to as the building. And you know, when Jesus is on earth, he had church wherever he went. You know, it's about going out with the opportunity that's there to minister. You're having church. So wherever people were, he just began to teach and he began to minister to them. He began to tell them the truth. Paul in Romans 6:5 says, greet the church that is in their house. He refers to the church in their house, not a church building, but a body of believers. A body of believers. The word church comes from the Greek word ecclesia, which is defined as assembly of called out ones. You've been called out to be ministers of truth, speaking to the darkness. The root word of church is not a building, but a people. So the church is the body of Christ. Ephesians says, 1 says, 22 and 23, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The body of Christ is made up of believers from the day of Pentecost to the day he returns to earth to take us home. And in between that, we've been called to be light in a dark world. We've been called to be ministers of truth. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Holy Spirit we're all baptized into one body, spiritually transformed, united together, whether Jews or Greeks, Gentiles, slaves or free, and we're all made to drink of one Holy Spirit, since the same Holy Spirit fills each life. So we have a universal church, people that have been saved, accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then we have local buildings where the church comes together to hear the word, how to be ministers of truth. You know, we want to drag sinners in here, and we want them to come in here and get saved, but the church is where we are equipped as sons and daughters of God to go out there, get people saved. I say, you come to church, we need to equip you to be a disciple of Christ. Amen? So the church is actually the equipping ground. The church is actually to build up and to encourage believers to go out and to be ministers of truth, reconciling people to God. And then bringing them in here and making them disciples of Christ and teaching them. Matthew 16:13 says, you know the story where Jesus went up and he asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And some said, well, you're John the Baptist, others Elias, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But he said, no, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you're Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the living God. So Jesus said, Simon, blessed, happy, spiritually secured, favored by God you are. Because flesh and blood, your human reasoning, your human mind has not revealed this to you. But my Father in heaven, so I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, Jesus Christ, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not overpower it. By preventing the resurrection of Christ, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. I will give you the church, the body of believers, the keys to the kingdom, the keys of authority of the kingdom, and whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and lawful on earth, I have already bound it in heaven, and whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth, I will have already been loosed in heaven. So Jesus was saying to Peter, what you have just told me about who I am could not be revealed in anything else but by the Spirit of God. The Kingdom Dynamics Bible reads it like this, and it's so awesome. Peter answers, is set apart from and beyond human reasoning. As Jesus commended his having heard from God, Jesus emphasized that the leadership in his church would always lead and be based not on man's ability to reason things out as much as on his readiness and receptivity to hear God through revelation knowledge, the things that God unfolds by the work of the Holy Spirit. We need to begin to hear the voice of God by the Spirit as He speaks to us. Human reasoning, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. You can't reason with the kingdom of darkness. You have to confront the kingdom of darkness with the Word. You can't reason with Satan. You can't reason with the devil. Amen? But we need to get in that secret place where God begins to speak that Word to you. Amen? And then begin to speak that or get a revelation. Lord, let me get quiet. Let all that chatter get away from all the noise. Let me hear what your Word is on that situation. And begin to speak that Word. That's what shakes the kingdom of darkness. Amen. John 16:13 says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, and we know that He has, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. God's not trying to hide anything from us. He wants us to hear and hear very clearly what He's saying. And then not be afraid. Because I would hold back for so long not wanting to preach like I was anointed to preach because I was afraid I'd say something that wasn't God. And you know, it's like, well, why worry about something? Well, why not worry about it? It just takes as much strength. So, you know, but begin to speak what you hear in your spirit. Get it out there into the atmosphere and then watch the atmosphere begin to change. Amen? Not with human reasoning. 1 Corinthians 2 says, we all speak of these things not in words taught or supplied by human wisdom, but in this, those things taught by the Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual thoughts with spiritual words for those being guided by the Holy Spirit. Being guided by the Holy Spirit. Let your spirit man rule and reign. As ministers of truth. So as believers, as God's called out one, He's saved ones, He's given us a voice to speak forth the truth. And like I said before, the greatest enemy to truth is silence. Don't upset the apple cart, so to speak. You know, just stay quiet. Stay reserved. Let people just do what they want to do. But people are hurting. They are really, really wanting somebody to explain to them how they can be healed and how they can be delivered and how they can get it out of their misery. And we have the answer. And we've been called to be ministers of that truth, which says Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. So you have a word heard in that secret place to go out and to be ministers of truth, ministers of truth. So what is that secret place? The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 29, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed and disclosed. God wants to reveal and disclose to us the mysteries of His kingdom. Because He says, as you seek me, as you listen to me, those things that are a mystery will become clear to you. You know, when you heard about grace, you thought people was just, you know, there's no way. That there is. Amen. Revealed and disclosed belong to us and to our children forever, so that we may do all the words of the law, so that we may do all the words of what this word says. So, what is truth? In closing this message today, very simple message to encourage you to go out there and continue to be masters of truth. And it seems like we have a great ministry at Walmart. So, God has already paving the way. So we're going to go out there next year. We're going to set up a tent. And we're going to pray for people. And we're going to watch God heal them. And we're going to watch God deliver them.
Amen.
Because as long as we stay in here, amen, but God's already opened the door for us. So we're going to go do some street ministry next year.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to go out there and hand out some water. And we're going to be ministers of truth. And say, come here, you've got pain in your body. I know the pain taker. Are you hurting? I know the one that can heal you. God's not mad at you. He's for you and not against you. been ministers of truth. The Bible is truth. Christ is truth. And if you accept those things, church, if you accept those things as a standard, then you have no absolute. You can do as you please. Amen. Because this is our standard of what we lived up to. This is our standard. The truth is true whether other people choose to believe it or not. The word is the truth where nobody believes it or not. It doesn't make it true because you don't believe it. You're just not believing it to be true. Amen. That's my word for you today. Pastor, do you have anything?
Well, I said I wasn't going to say anything, but I got a little. I just happened to open my Bible to a page, and I found a little page out of a devotional. I don't know if it's a Bread of Life or Our Daily Bread, rather, or what, but it's July the 13th. Now, I know that's not this past July. This has been in this Bible for a long time. And I picked it up, and I was looking at it, and I was listening to her, and I remembered Sister Martha's teaching on Revelation. And I thought, wow, what a coincidence. It's a little daily devotional called First Church of the Lampstand. And the writer says, I love it when churches have names like King of Glory Lutheran Church or Alpha and Omega Missionary Baptist Church. If the church at Ephesus were still around, maybe we'd call them something nifty like First Church of the Lampstand. We often miss the significance of Jesus' glorious vision in Revelation 1, or John's glorious vision in Revelation 1 of Jesus standing among the seven golden lampstands. These weren't just decorative candelabras, but substantial sources of light. How significant, then, that the lampstands represent the seven churches which were called to bring the light of Jesus into a very dark world. We live in a dark world that desperately needs the candle power of Christ shining through us. Let's be careful then not to repeat the mistake of the Ephesians who left their first love. Although praised for doing many things well, they had failed to keep Jesus in first place. It's easy to let things crowd Jesus out until soon we're doing church work for all the wrong reasons. What then? We lose our impact, Jesus warned. Repent and do the first works, or else I will remove your lampstand from its place. We can't afford to let that happen. Keep Jesus in first place so that his light will continue to shine brightly in this dark world. Lord, help us always put you first in everything we say and do, so that your light will shine through us and show the world their need of you. Works that are done out of love for Jesus shine brightest in a dark world. Picked that up, started to read it. She starts talking about being light. I tell you what, God never moves by coincidence. He moves by divine order. So what I challenge you to do is just go out there and just let your light shine. And Sister Shirley's talking about not being able to reason with Satan or reason with the devil. Just start speaking the word when he's around. You know how irritating it is for somebody to shine a bright light in your eyes? I mean, that's really irritating. It makes you just want to just turn your head away from them, get away from them. Well, when you start speaking the word of God in a dark place, that's like shining bright light in the devil's eyes. He says, man, I got to get out of here. This is blinding me. So go out there and live that way this week, church. It's our opportunity. It's not an obligation. Don't look at it as an obligation to make your light shine. Look at it as an opportunity to let your light shine. Because Sister Shirley's right. There's a lot of people out there in darkness that are looking for a friendly light. Just some hope. And the only hope that the world has is Jesus Christ. The world is going nuts rapidly. I mean, I turn on the radio, listen to any, I don't care if it's liberal news, conservative news, what's in the middle, if there is such a thing. But no matter what you listen to, you come away shaking your head saying, I cannot believe people believe that. I can't believe they could even rationally think that way. I saw an article the other day where this young man said that, and he was Caucasian, he had long hair, but he was transgendering into a Filipino. Said he was really should have been born a Filipino. And so he's transgendering into a Filipino. I thought, oh boy, how far are we going? Now it's not just transgender, it's trans race, transracial. I tell you what, I'd hate to know that whatever was responsible for me made that big of mistakes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, something back there is, we're here, we came from somewhere, obviously, because we're here. And I just can't believe that I came from somewhere that couldn't decide whether I was supposed to be male or female or Caucasian or Asian, or I decided, you know, and they're saying now, well, whatever you want to believe, you know, just, you know, you believe it, and that if that's really the way you feel about it. I looked around and told Laverne, I said, you know what? I'm 6 feet 3 inches tall because I want to be. And don't come around and tell me that I'm not 6 feet 3 inches tall because that's what I want to be. Now, how much sense does that make? If you got brown eyes and you wanted blue ones, don't feel bad about it. Just confess you got blue eyes. Just tell everybody, I got blue eyes, and don't tell me I don't. Oh, well. Got anything else? Yes, ma'am. Wait a minute, they can't hear you, and they can't hear you on the...
Yesterday, I had a painting class over at my martial arts school. I had like one student show up, you know, and then I had the guy that was leading the workshop. Well, after the workshop, he and I got to talking, and we ended up talking about being a light in a dark world. That's what we talked about, and I just think that's pretty interesting. But one of the things that came out of the conversation was based on a dream that I shared with Shirley some time ago, where I dreamed that I was a being made of light. And when the darkness, there were these beings of darkness that would come after the beings of light, but they, for one tiny human who knew who and what they were, they would send out a thousands of dark entities to face just one person who understood, just one person who knew that they were in the light or that they were light. And when these beings would encounter this person of light, when the darkness would encounter the person who knew that they were in a part of the kingdom of light, it didn't cut through the darkness. It dissolved it. It dissipated it. It annihilated it. So these beings of darkness, the things they wanted to do most was to convince people to stay away from the light. Don't go near that. And in order to do that, now this was all in this dream that I had, in order to do that, they would tell horrendous lies about the light and make people afraid to go near anybody who was a bearer of the light. They didn't want people to be in contact with them. So their greatest weapon was deception, because in this dream, every time a person came in contact with the light, if they really came in contact with the light, the darkness had no more power over them, no more hold on them, because the only hold the darkness had was the lies that it had caused people to believe. And those lies had plunged this whole world into chaos. And that is Satan's greatest weapon, is to keep you from knowing who and what you are. Because once you know who and what you are, everywhere you go, life happens. Everywhere you go. Anyway, I think it's amazing that we talked about that yesterday, and then she preached about it, and then you read that devotional. I just think it's awesome.
I'll tell you, God knows what he's doing. And you know that now, I'm not an expert on this, but I'm going to just say something about it. Ask a question. We deal with a lot of phobias. That's fears. You know, phobia is a real strong word for irrational fear. And I have been there one time in my life myself. But I have met a lot of people that are afraid of the dark. Have you, or do you know of anybody's phobia is fear of the light? I'm just saying, I don't even remember. I says, I'm afraid of light. Now, I'm afraid of, you know, there's, I don't know what you call, I don't know what phobia, fear of darkness is. What is that? But then you've got claustrophobia, which is fear of close places. And you've got, fear of heights, fear of open places. Is that agoraphobia? Fear of an open place. But anyway, you got all kinds of phobias, but I've never heard any. I've never heard of photophobia. Photo meaning light. What's your phobia? Oh, photophobia. I'm afraid of light. I say in the darkness all the time. Now, I know what I think about. If I heard a person tell me they were afraid of light and they stayed in the darkness all the time, I know what I would think about them. I think they had a real serious problem. If a person's afraid of the light, they got a much more serious problem than a person that's afraid of the dark. Because you can't eliminate the dark. But you know, dark has a limit. It can only get so dark. And no matter how dark it is, I mean, you can go to the darkest point and light a candle, and the candle will show up. But there's a whole lot of light that's a whole lot lighter than a candle. You put enough light around, and not even going to be a dark spot. When Jesus shows up, comes back again to get us, there's not going to be any more dark spots. That's why the Bible says there'd be no need of sun or moon or light, for the Lamb himself is the light. And where the Lamb is the light, there is no darkness. There is no shadow. Imagine that. Light where there is no shadow. I mean, even in the brightest sunshiny day, from sunlight there can be a shadow. But a light so bright and so all-consuming that there's no shadow. And yet it's not going to be a blistering, overpowering, like the light or the heat of the sun. It's going to be a comforting light where all darkness is totally and absolutely removed. And you know, we can have a down payment of that right now. So just see the light. Believe in the light. Walk in the light. And be the light. And if you've got anything going on in your life, reveal it to the light. And it'll be taken care of. Don't try to hide any problem you've got. Don't try to hide it from Jesus. Because he loves you. And he knows about it anyway. Trying to hide something from God's like trying to have a surprise birthday party for people. Some way or another, they'll find out if enough people know about it. But God knows, and he loves us anyway. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, as we leave here today, we leave here, Lord God, going out there into the world to be what we were called to be, and that's lights. You even commissioned us and said, we are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And we know that we're the light of the world because you said you were the light of the world, and you said you'd live in us and you would shine through us if we just let you. And so, Lord God, we thank you for that. We've got a lot of opportunities coming ahead of us this week. We've got a lot of things to be thankful for with Thanksgiving coming up. But, Lord God, we're thankful every day, 365 days, 366 every few years. But we know that there's a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of chances for us to shine our light. And it doesn't have to be a big light to be seen. It's just got to be an honest one. Just a light that reflects your presence in our lives. And I pray, Lord God, for the wisdom to understand that, the wisdom to see it operate in our lives, and the wisdom and the thanksgiving to know that it is having an effect. That the light that we shine is there, whether anybody's willing to acknowledge it or not. They still have to see it. If the light of God shines, it will be seen. And so I thank you, Lord God, for being with each one and giving us the strength that we need, because we have all power and all might. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Greater is the light than is the darkness. And we thank you, Lord God, for all of your blessings, for the strength that we receive from being here today. And now we go into the world, into the mission field, to preach the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, and happy Thanksgiving.